Welcome to eClad Chat. eClad Chat. Streaming live to you from eClad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. eClad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. eClad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. I'm Casey Benane, and welcome to eClad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content that will develop both your personal and professional lives. Today, I am co-hosting with Kaylin Burke, who is to the left of me. Hi, Kaylin.
Hi. And happy almost New Year's to everyone.
Too.
Yeah, so starting in January, it'll be a new promotion. So this is the last week to get eClad's Hidden Gem promotion for the month of December. And if you book an event with eClad's Hidden Gem and tell us that you heard it on Blog Talk Radio's eClad Chat, you'll receive $100 towards your total venue rental, so you have one more day. So yeah, get that call in if you want to save $100. It's a great deal. And if you missed our show last week, you can catch it on Blog Talk Radio. And we had a pre-recorded interview with CEO of Nude Bar, Erin Carpenter. It was so much fun. Her company, Nude Bar, is a different line of, like, tights?
Well, hosiery.
Hosiery, that matches your skin tone. So we got a lot into that. She gave us some great business advice on how to achieve funding for your business and how she used research to start her own business. And, you know, she used the idea of makeup foundation to achieve the 16 different shades that her company carries, which is cool because we got to kind of see what shade matched us. So, you know, to find out, you can listen to the show and see what Casey and I were both shade-wise. They have really fun names. You know, Erin, she was great. She knows so much about business. She's, you know, such a girly girl. She loves nail art and, you know, such a fashionista. So she told us all this fun stuff on the show.
Yeah, it was a great time, actually. Yeah. We had lots of fun with Erin. And like Kaylin said, like, she provided us with a slew of information from what her business does to, you know, just picking out the right shade of nude for your skin tone. So that was really, really cool, cool to, you know, experience with her. So it's like not your grandma's pair of pantyhose.
Yeah, definitely not.
So, yeah, that was really cool. So, guys, also keep in mind that our lines are open for questions. Please, please, please feel free to give us a call. You know, we're here to answer any questions you may have, and we want to, you know, talk with you. So you can reach us here on 516-453-9170. Again, it's 516-453-9170. And then when you hear the beep, that's the prompt to let you know that we're here and we see you. So just press one and we'll see you. We'll see that you have a question and we'll pick up the line to talk with you. Okay, so let's move right on to today's scheduled show. Today we're talking effective tools to develop, grow, and sustain your business in the current economy. I think this is particularly important, an important subject matter for most, if not all, entrepreneurs and small business owners, myself included, and Kaylin. And it'll help us tackle, our guest today will help us tackle this topic. So we've reached out to Tiffany C. Wright, a serial entrepreneur, business advisor, and author. Tiffany obtained her bachelor's in industrial and systems engineering from The Ohio State University and her MBA in finance and entrepreneurial management from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. She is a member of the National Association of Female Executives, Toastmasters, and sits on the board of North Carolina's Arts in Action. Tiffany delivers creative solutions to the issues small and medium businesses face. She focuses on eliminating the frustrations business owners and executive management teams encounter when transitioning from one stage to another.
And then, you know, in addition to owning and operating her own firms, she's served as a business advisor to and CFO or COO of numerous businesses. So, you know, she has a lot of background in the field. She's helped SMBs obtain over $40 million in financing.
Yeah.
And she documents this whole experience in her new book, The Funding Is Out There, Access the Cash You Need to Impact Your Business. And she's also president of the Resourceful CEO, which provides products and services to SMBs to, you know, address funding issues and help improve cash flow. And she's also the author of Solving the Capital Equation. So, you know, she's an author, businesswoman, everything out there. And a little bit about the book before we get started, so you guys have a little background. The Funding Is Out There provides more than 30 in-depth case study examples. I mean, they're succinct, so they're easy to read, but, you know, give a lot of information about what actual business owners have done to raise capital to grow their businesses, not just covering what's available, but how to obtain it, kind of what works best, and why for a particular business type. You know, there's business-friendly community banks, forming strategic alliances, you know, using crowdfunding, which is growing increasingly popular.
Yeah, that's a big thing now, right?
Yeah, so if you're a business owner and you want to know how to raise the capital you need to grow your business, read the book, and this will be a great show because she'll kind of get into it a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about the show. And so we have Tiffany on the line. And so Kaylin's going to get her on for us.
Hello.
Hi, Tiffany.
Well, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm here in Ohio visiting my parents. Normally I live in Atlanta, so it's cold, but it's fun.
Is it snowing there yet?
No, it's not snowing. How is it in New York? Not snowing, just cold?
It was kind of snowing the other day. Yeah. We had like this kind of funny ice snow kind of
freezing
thing.
Freezing rain. Yeah. I don't know that's what it's called.
Yes, freezing rain. It was kind of interesting because we went from like super warm weather to like
70. It was 70.
And then all of a sudden we had freezing rain. Well, thank you. We're so excited to speak to you. This is a really important subject matter. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you, you know, jumping on board to kind of talk with us and give us some input and advice and, I guess, tips and tricks on how we can sustain our business and, you know, in this constant ebb and flow economy that we're living in. So, you know, let's just jump right into it, Tiffany. Before we even, like, get into, like, the more important or, like, not necessarily important, but the serious stuff, tell us some, like, some fun facts about you, who Tiffany Wright is.
Well, I am often mistaken for a personal trainer. I have all this business experience. How could you think I'm a personal trainer? But yes, it's because I do work out a lot, and I believe in being very healthy. And in 2007, I ran track, and I made it to the World Championships in Italy, the Masters World Championships, and I placed 7th in 100 meters.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's one fun fact.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that, because that's like such a huge accomplishment.
It is.
Well, what about the track or the personal or the training?
Oh, yeah, like the you placed 7th overall, you said, in Italy in 2007?
Yes, I did. For me, it was a big deal because I stopped running. I went to college and ran track at the beginning of my freshman year and stopped. And then I ran on and off, and I had friends that said you needed to run on the track circuit, and I just never did. So for me, getting back into running track and then actually making it to the pinnacle, which is the World Championships, at the master's level was significant because that was I always wanted to be on that level, and I did it just a number of years later.
Well, congratulations.
So, yeah,
that's huge.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, congratulations to you. That's a huge deal.
Thank you.
Okay, so I guess what I want to do is kind of like sort of transition into the business aspect of things, now that we know who Tiffany is and what she likes to do. So let's start with what advice would you give fellow business owners that may be struggling with their business?
First of all, I must say this. It's a mindset. It's so very important. When I talk about money, I it's so often that I run into people who tell me what they can't do. They can't.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm an angel investor. I know how to get money. But all you're doing is you're telling me what you can't do. That completely shuts your mind. So if I tried to make a suggestion to you, you wouldn't even hear me. So the first thing is to think that you can, that you have to not think that, yes, it's a struggling economy, but there's always going to be someone who does well no matter what the economy is doing. So, and then the other thing is, I know you were talking about Kenneth Cole and so on, but sometimes large companies move because for different reasons. It's not just because they're having difficulty, but they may not be getting the same number, the same amount of turnover, or the foot traffic, the whatever. There's a number of different reasons. Someone that may have made them a really good deal somewhere else, and so they have a much better lease. So because you see large companies move, that doesn't mean to sound that you should sound the, oh my goodness, they're leaving, it's really hard in this area, alarm. It just, they may have something better. But if you yourself are struggling, then the main thing you have to think about is cash. Can you get the cash to keep your business open? Because if you can't get the cash, then you are going to close much sooner than later. Because if you can't pay your bills, if you can't pay your rent, then
absolutely,
your landlord will quickly evict you. So the main thing is your business viable, or is this just a hiccup? That's what you have to think. It just may mean that you need to shutter and start again. If that's not the case, then you have to look at what's going on. Is it you don't have enough customers, or you have enough customers, your customers aren't buying enough, you don't have enough systems in place, so you kind of, your customer service sucks, so no one ever comes back, or they rarely come back, that's a big problem, or you try to fulfill orders or provide the services that you promised, and you have problems on the delivery and so on. Those are more operational issues, or you have employee problems or theft, or people aren't showing up. There's just, you have to look at what's causing the problem.
Okay, yeah, you gave a lot of great tips already, just, you know, if your business is hurting. So, you know, if that is the case and your business is having like substantial problems or anything, what kind of funding, if any, is available to turn things around for them?
Funding is solely your issue, and what I find is that often when people say, oh, I need money, yes, they need money, but they need to address all these operational issues or sales issues so that they're not constantly going after funding. Again, if you're in growth mode, you will be constantly going after funding. But if you're getting to the point where your business has generated a lot of money, but for some reason you're not getting the cash, then there's a lot of operational issues. So yes, there's all these different options that you can go after depending on the stage of your business, the industry, and the age of your business, and so on.
Okay, yeah. What are like the most kind of common ways to get funding? So I'm sure like some people are totally clueless where to even start.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start with the obvious, the bank financing, because that's what generally people come to me about. Oh, I can't get any bank financing. So first, let me say, if you're going to the big boys, the Bank of Americas and the Wells Fargo of the America, I don't want to say of the world, Barclays, I guess if we're talking about the world, Barclays and so on. But anyways, they're not focused on small business owners. I think Bank of America does a lot of these SBA Express loans, so that's loans that are $30,000 to $50,000. And so it's fairly easy to get approval with that if you have decent credit and so on. And you'll get it as a personal line of credit. But beyond that, it's more difficult. I think some of the other ones do other SBA loans. And I think Wells Fargo sometimes has these campaigns and they try to extend money to different entities. But really, if you really are considering a bank and you're having a problem, look at community banks. Community banks typically have 2 to 20 locations. So that means that they are, it's just the local bank in your community. And they are typically run by, the people who sit on their boards of directors are typically business owners and others in the community. So they have a higher tolerance for business, for businesses, and they know how to assess the risk. And you can get to know them, and you can start with a smaller loan and work your way up to a larger loan, get them an executive summary, an overview of your business, talk about what you're doing, so on and so forth. You can meet the people who work at community, who are VPs or above at community banks, at your, it's a different business organization, you belong to your religious organizations, just out and about, just ask people. So that's one. Another common one, I know the big, lots of people are thinking about crowdfunding, peer-to-peer crowdfunding, but I just have to say that crowdfunding works if you have a product that people really like or a productized service that people really like, and you have marketing and PR skills, or you can connect to somebody who does, because it's really a great way to get the name of your business or your creative project out there. But if you don't have a large social media following or a large email list, or connection to a lot of journalists and know how to work the PR angle,
yeah,
then you're just going to be part of the majority of people whose projects never get any funding. If you're looking for investors, there's friends and family, there's angel investors, there's strategic investors. I just want to say that because lots of times people think of strategic investors as very, very large companies who are interested in other, interested in the $100 million company, and they want to make a strategic investment. But it doesn't always work like that. For instance, I had a client who actually had a tutoring software company, and they were going after the middle school base, and they were trying to expand but trying to conserve their money. And so they needed a sales force and trying to figure out how to come up with the money and how to go make all these angel investment presentations and so on. And they had been in talks with the textbook company. Well, the textbook company did two things. They gave them a $3 million zero interest loan for 5 years as a strategic investor. And they sold their product, they packaged that tutoring software product in with their textbooks, and so their salespeople actually made the sales when they went to the different schools. So that solved two big things, provided two sources of income or money for my client. One was the direct input of cash, but then the other one was them providing their sales force.
Okay.
So my client didn't have to, they just had to hire two people. So, and they were, again, that was a strategic investor.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah. So what, in the case of, those are really great, that was great information. But I'm, just based on what you're explaining, I'm assuming that those options are open for people that have, good to great credit, whether for their business or their personal. Now, what if, your company is struggling and you don't have, or you no longer have good, good credit, or you don't no longer have good personal credit? Are there any options for that?
Yes. Well, one, if you don't have good credit, that's where the strategic investors or the marketing and so on can come into play. And what I say is that there's debt, there's equity, and I can talk about the different debt financing, the different equity financing, but then there's this whole universe called alternative financing. And that's where I say you have to focus on what you need, not just on the amount of money. So you say, I think I need to hire someone, I need to hire this employee, and I need to do this marketing, and I need to rent this building, and the total cost is $100,000. That's what you need to do. Not just say, I need $100,000. Because if you need to hire the employee, you may be able to work out something where you give them some equity, or you give them, not equity, but you give them a share of the profit with a reduced salary. Mm-hmm. Or you can, if you need to market, you can, there's someone else out there who's trying to market to the same group that you're marketing to, as with the example that I gave, then you can co-market with them, and you can either get your cost down to zero, or you can at least cut your marketing cost in half.
Okay, so that's a great option, I guess. So you gave us some really amazing tips on how we can obtain financial funding, both from, financial institutions or other, ways to obtain that financing if you don't necessarily have, great credit. Now, tell us basically what tools or what essential things do you think that small businesses or entrepreneurs may necessarily lack to, propel or to further develop their business?
One big thing is a lack of a senior management team. And obviously, I'm not saying go out there and get one. What I'm saying is build a team of advisors. It can be isolating as an entrepreneur, unless you have a lot of friends who are entrepreneurs or you actively participate in some groups where there's a lot of entrepreneurs. It's often you're with friends and family and they don't understand how it is to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
So, if you have decisions that you need to make, you aren't good at everything. And when you try to be good at everything, you really hold your business back. So you have to realize what you're good at and what you're not good at and reach out to others to help you. Obviously, when your budget is limited, you can't go hiring all these people. But that's good because it helps you to be more resourceful and strategic. There's all these entities out there that can help you. I mentioned the micro-lending entities. They also provide a lot of business counseling. There's the small business development centers, and they provide business counseling anywhere from free to higher, but it's on a sliding scale depending on how much revenue your business is bringing in. There's women business development centers. There's minority business development centers. There's the Service Corps of Retired Executives. There's if you're looking to do business with the government, there's the Technical Procurement Assistance Centers, and they're often affiliated with the university. So just look up TPAC, T-P-A-C. And if you are not great at marketing, then go reach out to one of these entities to help your marketing. You need help with your business plan because you're all over the place. Go reach out to one of these entities to help you with that. And so instead of trying to come up with $10,000 to pay a consultant, again, I'm a consultant or I've worked as a consultant, so I'm not knocking consultants by any means. But if you don't have the money, why stress yourself out? Be resourceful and take advantage of the options that are out there for you that you just don't know about it. I know I was at Georgia Tech for a while, and there's all these resources available that just no one ever knew about.
I just want to touch on your book for a minute,
too,
and kind of how that all relates, because your book is also like a great resource, and we just want to know, kind of how you think it will help your listeners if they want to get the book. What kind of resource will that be for them?
Okay, well thank you. What I do is I spend a whole chapter talking about cash flow and the difference between cash flow and profit, because I think a lot of small business owners get that confused, that you can be actually really profitable and have very poor or negative cash flow, and because the two are completely different. If you're on an accrual basis, if you're on cash basis, they need to be the same unless someone's making money. but if you're on an accrual basis, they're completely, completely different animals. So I do that, and then I walk you through the different types of financing available, just in regular everyday terms, the same way that I talk, and I give all kinds of examples. So I
talk about how this company did this, and these are actual examples of my clients or a few other entities or a few other examples that aren't mine, but the 90% were my customers or my clients.
It gives people a visual, you know what I mean? Sort of like a visual aid,
yeah.
To assisting them with, you know, real problems, real issues that they're having. So I think that's a great solution, using, I guess, issues that you've encountered, your clients have maybe encountered, and utilizing that to, you know,
yeah,
create
exactly.
the book. Yeah, I think that yeah, really
I,
provides.
I think it's a good tool, too. So, like, if people want to, you know, read these things for themselves and kind of use your book as a tool, where can they get it for sale?
They can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble
okay.
or Books A Million or Powell Books.
Okay.
Powell so
books.
Wherever you shop for your books, you can get it. I'm not sure about the independent bookstores, but all the major bookstores, you can, and then, of course, online.
Okay, great. So easily accessible for anyone
yeah.
who would like to read it.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much. You
yeah.
provided so much information, you know, a lot of tools here. I thought it was even useful and helpful to, for me, so I'm grateful for that. But before we let you go, there are, like, you know, there are a series of questions that we ask all of our guests, especially our female guests, because it's super
okay.
important. I guess the first question is, so basically, I'm not sure if you know what eClad is, but eClad, we are in two industries. We actually have a jewelry and accessories boutique, and we also have an events venue. So the services combined,
yeah.
we have this unique business that we serve. And so we try to cater everything that we do, even our radio talk show towards that. And so the very first question I'm going to ask you here is, what is the most memorable event that you've ever attended and why?
I went to a Mardi Gras in the middle of winter when I lived in California. And that one was very memorable because it was the band was on, it was just really well organized and a lot of fun. That's what I remember. The band was good. There were all these great people. It was, I just remember I had a lot of fun and everything was easy. The whole sign up for the event and then how to get there, potentially where to stay,
yeah.
all of that was provided and it was great.
Well, obviously, it must have been memorable because it's the first thing that you kind of shot out. So.
Especially if it's well organized.
Right?
That's
important.
A very important part. So now for, like, the, you know, jewelry accessory side of things, do you have, like, three jewelry or accessory essentials that you think every woman should own or not leave the house without?
Earrings. I always have earrings, rings, and a bracelet.
Oh, cool. All right, and so are you a lipstick or a lip gloss girl?
Lip gloss.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And do you have maybe a favorite accessory or jewelry designer? I mean, you don't have to, but just curious.
I don't really, but I buy a lot of different things, but I've seen Alex and Annie, and that's the kind of things that I buy.
Okay.
Although I haven't yet bought anything from them.
Yeah, their stuff is really cute.
Yeah,
though, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so if our listeners wanted to reach you further and, you know, basically reach out to you about further information and furthering their business and just maybe even requesting your consulting services, how can they reach you? Like, you know, and also provide any social media handles that you have as well.
Okay. I'm on Twitter at The Resourceful CEO.
Okay.
And on Facebook at Resourceful CEO. Everything is Resourceful CEO.
Easy enough.
LinkedIn, Resourceful CEO. Yes. So I think I'm on Instagram, but I rarely check it. So,
okay.
So, and Pinterest. I am on Pinterest.
That's funny.
So, but yes, Twitter and Facebook, but really Twitter and LinkedIn. And then if you want to reach me directly you can do so through my website at The Resourceful CEO through the contact page, or you can email me at twright theresourcefulceo.com.
Love it.
And I believe you had said the number, our number is 404-642-0509.
Thank you again, Tiffany. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully we can reach out to you again in the future and touch on another topic that we think that, you know, might be useful to our listeners, as most of our listeners are business for people within the industry, but business folks.
Or if you're ever in New York, too.
Yeah, we would love to have you swing by. It would be great to have a live show with you, you know, face to face. That would be amazing.
I will do that.
Well, thank you again, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yes.
Happy New Year.
I will talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, Kaylin's going to tell you about the designer feature that I've been wearing throughout the show, and then we'll bring you the event and news for this week. So we'll be back in about...
A minute.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
Okay, we're back, guys, with today's designer feature. So the designer feature of the day is the Chains and Crystals necklace by Adia Kabur, and Casey is wearing it.
I just want to correct that. It's Adia Kyber, but it's
See?
Okay.
You should tell me. I need to get this prior. Adia Kyber.
It was close.
It was not close. I messed up the first and the last name. Not close. Yeah, I need to check these before. I think I know in my head, and then it comes out wrong. But anyway, yeah, so it is, I can say the Chains and Crystal necklace. So
right.
I got that part down. So, you know, it's like it has a lot of depth to it because it's overlapping. There's multiple chains and variations of gold. There's different crystals woven throughout.
Yeah.
And there's a silver length extension and a lobster closure on the back. And it's great because you have the... You know, you have the, what's it called, the little diamond, the, not the
crystals.
Crystals, that's the word, the crystals. You have, like, it's all different layers. It kind of looks like it's braided or, like, woven a little bit. And, you know, it sits right on your collarbone, and it could also be worn as a choker, which is
cool. You can adjust the, with the lobster enclosure, it's adjustable, so you can make it longer, you can make it shorter, depending on how you want to wear it.
Perfect. So it has, like, different gold variations, as I was trying to say. And, you know, the crystals give it that little dazzle and bling, so kind of perfect for the New Year's.
Yeah.
No, for the new year, too, since you probably can't get it by tomorrow night. But, I mean, if you head on here, you can totally purchase one, you know, 122 East 57th Street.
There
you go. Swing on by. Can get it off of Casey's neck. And, you know, it's part of our more affordable collection, which is great. And it looks like an expensive piece. And as always, it's available on eclad.com.
Yay! Buy it. Okay, we're going to take it to something a little bit more fun or less serious, I should say, and give you guys some great, tips or, you know, I guess, drink beverages that you guys can use to bring in the new year.
Because New Year's Eve is tomorrow.
I know.
Wow.
I can't believe it. I can't believe we're already at the end of the year. I feel like I just had the celebration like 5 minutes ago. And it was 2015. And so now we're having it again. And it's 2016. I don't know where the time is going. Okay, so while we wait to connect with Tiffany, we'll just, you know, do the show a little backwards today. Why not? So let's talk about the beverages, Kaylin.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone who listens know that I'm somewhat of a connoisseur. I dub myself that. I'm not a connoisseur of anything, actually. But I love a great cocktail. I'm not sure I really need an occasion to have one. But, you know, why not... bring in the new year with a great cocktail or great cocktails for your events. And so we kind of like search through and because we have the event space here, you know, we throw out on events sometimes and we have clients that, you know, do events here. We came up with like a small list of beverages that we thought would be great to invest in for your event, whether it's at home or if it's something bigger or whatever it is that you're planning, you know, on a budget. Because, you know, budget, money is always important. Yeah. So, okay, so we're going to hit beverages for New Year's Eve party. And so I'll give it away to Kaylin.
Yes, you know, of course, the standard for New Year's Eve events is champagne. You know, to bring in the new year, you pop the champagne. So the one that you have normally is Korbel Brut.
Yeah.
And it's $4.50, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It tastes good. I personally had it at your events. Yes. And it's very good. You could not tell it's $4.50.
No. It's actually one of my favorites because I feel like it's, you know, you get your, what is it, a bang for your buck,
yes,
kind of thing.
Bang for your buck.
And it's really, really, really tasty. And I'm not a big champagne person.
Oh, I'm a champagne
Are
person.
Are you? So. My husband's a big champagne person, too, so you guys have that in common.
Yeah, so that was really good to me, and I'm a champagne person.
Oh, really?
So.
Okay, great. So then I feel like if I pleased your palate, then it's good. So see, guys, so it's totally worth it. $4.50. You can get a couple of bottles, depending on how many people that you're inviting. Mm-hmm. And, again, bang for the buck. And then also, you know, for women that us great women that are on a budget, and we have to always look good, and also, you know, in order to look good, we have to make sure the coins are in the purse. Mm-hmm. So if you are not a big champagne person but want to kind of have like a something that feels like champagne, there's Prosecco. Prosecco seems to be big now. Like, I feel like everybody's drinking it and everyone's interested in it.
Also a fan.
Are you a fan of
it?
Okay. Again, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know, I guess it depends. So we found a Prosecco that we thought that, you know, comes close to, you know, a champagne. It's supposed to be a little bit finer or tastier than the Korbel, but, you know, it's quality. It's a little bit more pricier. It's going for $13.99, and, but I still think it's worth it. Maybe that's the beverage or the, you know, the champagne or the cocktail rather that you should celebrate or open the new year with.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be the bottle that you pop open when, you know, you're counting down to 10.
Exactly. It's a good options,
yeah,
too.
So. Right. And so it's called Nino Franco Rustico Prosecco di Valdobbiadene. Okay. So, yes, I've totally butchered that name. Totally butchered it. But we'll have it on the website, so if you need to you need to look it up, it's totally worth it. You know, we served it here, and I've heard great things about it. And it's $13.99. It's a little bit of a higher grade, but it's still within the budget, and doesn't break the bank.
Exactly. So finally, like you're saying, you know, you need, if you can get champagne, great, Prosecco, but also you need a couple bottles of wine, of course. And we are huge fans of the Trader Joe's options.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah,
love it, love it.
So the White Zin is a great one, and the Pinot Grigio, and they're $2.99 each. So
I know, isn't that crazy?
That's a super bang for your buck.
Oh my gosh, we serve it here all the time. Kind of like, I mean, I'm sure you've had it.
Oh, I've had the Pinot, yeah.
Yeah, and people swear that it's a high grade. I mean, not to say it isn't, I mean, but it isn't because it's $2.99. But people love it, and they think that it's, you know, we spend a lot for it, you know, it depends. Like, just if we're just throwing something that's fun and it's light, we'll just do the, you know, Trader Joe wines, and people love it.
Really good.
Again, bang for the buck, and you're not breaking the bank. And then tomorrow, you can, after, you know, you bring in the new year, you can go and shop Eclat and buy a purse. You've just saved yourself a ton of money.
Exactly. So, you know, all these are perfect if you're like last minute searching for something, and there's so many brands out there, you have no clue what to do.
Yeah.
And also, you know, they are affordable, and you can always just get one of those like little cover, like wine covers.
Exactly.
No one will know that it was Trader Joe's.
No. Okay, so those are the tips that we have for you guys. We hope you actually use it. Honestly, it's totally worth it, and you'll see.
Yes.
People will enjoy it. They'll thank you for it later. So we're going to move on to the news, you know, for today. So in retail news, 67% of consumers plan to shop the post-holiday sales. They're saying that basically, you know, there's reports that the actual holiday sales weren't as great as they projected. That seems to be the consensus, like, for the past year, right, Kaylin, since we've been giving the news? So anyway, in its latest edition of its Shoppers Trend Report, RetailMeNot reports 67% of consumers intend to shop the end of the year sales and plan to spend an average of $270 during this time.
Yeah. And I am one of those people included. Not the $270 spending, but I have shopped some of the sales already.
Yeah,
and so some of the biggest motivators to shopping the post-holiday sales are the retail discounts, which is, that is me, and, you know, the offers in the market and the gift cards that they received as holiday gifts. So, you know, that's what RetailMeNot has come through with. And plus, you know, you get a lot of gift cards, so that makes sense to go out and use them.
Absolutely. So 3 in 5 people, or 60%, are motivated to shop by low prices, while close to the same amount of 57% would be persuaded to shop by great deals.
And as I was saying, you know, gift cards encourage people to shop the sales, with nearly 2 in 5 people, you know, 38% of shoppers planning to redeem a gift card or a gift certificate they received as a holiday gift.
So, they, you know, we have a few motivators here that we saw that we thought would be important to kind of share. So over in over 1 in 4, or 26%, are ready to shop for themselves after a season of shopping for others. 1 in 4, or 25%, take advantage of a retailer's coupon. More than 1 in 5, or 21%, didn't receive the gift they wanted. How many of you would agree with that? I think I'm one, but anyway. Close to 1 in 5, or 19%, want to redeem a rebate, and more than 2 in 5, or 43% consumers who received a gift card during the winter holidays would use it to make a purchase in January. That's probably me. While close to 3 in 10, or 28%, plan to utilize their gift card sometime in December, where December ends
tomorrow.
Not like today, no,
tomorrow. For that, yeah. And, you know, also, you know, it's also the season for returns, which is super popular. Also, I'm a part of this group.
Oh, really?
I've already made 3 returns. So typically, 1 in 3 consumers will return a gift that they received during the winter holiday season. And on average, they'll return 20% of their gifts received during this time, which is actually kind of more than I'd expect.
Yeah.
But, you know, close to 1 in 2 don't return any gifts they receive in order to not offend the gift giver. Very thoughtful of you. And 3 in 10 will give the ones that they don't like to a friend or a family member, a.k.a. regifting. And then, you know, women might be more resourceful than men, as close to 1 in 4 are likely to regift. Oh, yeah. Got ahead of myself. They'll regift the holiday gifts they don't like. Well, only 17% of men are likely to do so.
Okay, so they're expecting a more successful December shopping. So December's coming so close, so once we get those reports, then we'll report on them.
Yes.
So an article in Forbes that, you know, we pulled the other day predicts that a lack of momentum exiting November will make December even more promotional than planned. 1 week before Christmas, all retailers will hit the panic button, and there will be heavy markdowns. So when I saw this, I wanted to see whether or not it was true. I, like, eClad.com or eClad hasn't, we haven't, like, had any markdowns. I just don't normally mark down anything. But my husband and I went down to 34th Street, which is the main shopping area here in New York City, and we visited a lot of the main shops. I won't name all the stores. I probably won't name any because I don't, you know, don't want to get in trouble. But I have to say that probably a good 80%, or if 80% to maybe, I would even say all the stores, but, you know, but just more accurately, I'll probably stick with 80% of the stores, like, had markdowns to the umpteenth power. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, super, super, like, things that I've not seen, or I should say markdowns that I've not seen in a long time.
Yeah,
like, you know, they were pretty extensive. So you, down the line of 34th Street, you saw like 65 to 75 or 80% off. Just down the line, like store to store to store. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like real. So people, you know, their inventory, they're trying to get rid of their inventory.
Exactly.
So I understand it.
Yeah, and Forbes even said, you know, retailers such as Macy's, JCPenney, Kohl's, Target, Walmart, and Amazon extended Cyber Monday to a full week, which definitely is true, because even Target, I bought my sister a present, and a week later, it was like half the price. So I rebought it and returned the more expensive one.
I was just asking, what did you do?
This is definitely true. They also had free shipping up until Christmas. So.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're really extending everything. Macy's, they even had like a friends and family sale, which I also saw online, that extended over a week and, you know, helped move merchandise by, you know, recommending your family and friends to buy some things.
Yeah, and then Lord & Taylor's had their friends and family event as well. Of course, they had to jump on the bandwagon. Everyone's trying to move their merchandise, and JCPenney ran a one-day event sale on Wednesday, and well, actually, that was a couple of weeks ago, December 9th, highlighting fleece for kids, sweaters for women, men had lots of cutbacks. below Black Friday prices. And yes, 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 I have to agree with that again. Like when we went in and out of those stores just to like check the prices and stuff, substantial markdown, substantial.
And then JCPenney, they also ran an ad for a Super Saturday sale starting on Thursday, December 10th. And then they had extended hours on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, suggesting that the one-day sale was actually 3 days long, which is crazy because, you know, usually Black Friday is the huge one.
I know. It, you know, we're in a time where it's a tough economy. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move right into the events.
Yes.
Okay, so Kaylin, you can start off.
Okay, so yeah, the Jewelers International Showcase is in its fourth decade. And, you know, they've been serving the jewelry industry and leading worldwide manufacturers and wholesalers of the jewelry market, you know, are selling their products and services at their shows to thousands of jewelry trade attendees from more than 50 countries worldwide. So it's a huge thing.
It's a huge event, yes. Yeah.
And some of the highest concentrations are coming from Latin America, the Caribbean, Florida, and the rest of the U.S. And so the JIS Miami January show is the second largest of the three shows, mm-hmm. and October is the largest. I didn't know that, but that's pretty cool. So January is the second largest, and it's, you know, if you want post-holiday inventory and, you know, want to prepare for Valentine's Day, it's a great time right before it starts. And it's three full days to buy and sell.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can offer just-in-time delivery with both factory order writing and at-show delivery permitted. And it runs for 3 days from Saturday, January 16th through the 18th. And, you know, it's in Miami, which will be a fun place to go if you're looking to buy some things. And registration is open, so you can go to jisshow.com and sign up there.
And also, the accessory show is back in town. I am a big fan of the accessory show because I don't really tour any of the other shows outside of New York City. Just too busy to really do that. So I just kind of count on the shows that come here to the Javits Center. And the accessory show is a show that I frequent. And for the new year, they're, you know, they do, I believe it's like either 3 or 4 a year. I could be wrong, but I think it's something like that. So the next show is January 10th through the 12th. And so it's right around the corner. So if you haven't registered yet, you really need to. Again, it's here in New York City at the Jacob Javits Center. Accessories, the show runs in New York City and in Las Vegas. Both shows create the world's largest and most vibrant marketplace for jewelry accessories. Each and every season, ATS caters to the world's best designers and retailers by providing the finest selection of jewelry accessory collections. ATS has become the go-to show for collections ranging from the high-end classic brands to new and emerging contemporary designers. The show will offer some of the most in-demand styles, sought-after brands, and must-haves for the serious fashion retailer. So make sure that you hit up their website, accessoriestheshow.com, and replenish your bestsellers and, you know, even look for what's in trend and what customers want now so that you can retail it and make sure you have it in store for the next holiday coming, which is Valentine's Day.
Yes, exactly. And now for events to attend for the new year, you know, tomorrow if you're still looking for something to do and you're semi-athletic, there's the New Year's Eve ride and dance party. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is like becoming a traditional thing like every year. And there's 3 meetup locations, so depending on where you are, it's super convenient. You can meet at 9:45 p.m. at the Brooklyn side entrance to the Williamsburg Bridge, or at 10 p.m. at Washington Square Park Arch, and that is in Manhattan. Or at 10:20 p.m., you can meet at Madison Square Park, which is 23rd and Broadway on the Flatiron side. So it's like a biking and rollerblading thing, and you all start in one of those 3 locations, and then you all go to Belvedere Castle in Central Park. And ends up there around 11:45, and it's this huge and free New Year's Eve dance party. There's fireworks.
Oh, wow.
And that's a really festive.
Yeah. I keep saying this every week. I need to get out more.
Exactly. So, yeah, you just ride your bike there, and if you don't want to do the ride, you can also just meet there at the castle for the free party.
So all this is free?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's absolutely amazing. I love free. Okay.
Especially New Year's Eve. Everything's
expensive. Yeah, it's super expensive. It's like if it was $20 before, it's like $50 now. Plus, you know, a drink, which is now like maybe $100.
I know, right?
Okay, exaggeration. But, you know, it's
nice, fun, free event.
That's great. Okay, so there's a New Year's Day marathon benefit. For the past 42 years, the Poetry Project has put on its New Year's Day marathon benefit reading. It's 12 hours of performance by more than 140 writers, musicians, dancers, and artists. That is so cool. It's the Poetry Project's annual benefit event, with all funds raised going toward paying writers for their work throughout the season. Past events have included performers such as William S. Burroughs, Yoko Ono, Patti Smith, and Philip Glass. Tickets are available on brownpapertickets.com, and it will be at 131 East 10th Street starting at 2 p.m. Fun!
Yeah, I'm going to start your New Year's with a little kind of intellectual
stimulation.
Yeah, exactly.
So that really brings an end to our show.
Yes.
And so we'd like to thank you guys. This is our last show, Caitlin, for the year. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It went so quickly.
Yes.
I've lost count of how many episodes we have under our belt, but I think it's quite a few.
Starting
now.
In April. So
yeah.
2015 was the year eClad Chat started.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, thank everyone for the support, for listening, and just for, like, just being there with us, you know, entertaining, allowing us to entertain you, bring you business news, information, you know, great advisors and entrepreneur stories such as Tiffany, although, you know, it was more about financial advising in this case. But, you know, it's just been phenomenal. And so we're just really happy and just, I don't know, privileged to be doing this.
Exactly.
Any words, Caitlin?
Yeah, and there will be a ton of new cool episodes coming in 2016, so stay with
us.
We have a great lineup coming ahead for you guys.
That's right. And so, guys, so we just want to say
Happy
New Year! We didn't say it simultaneously. I mean,
we tried.
Yeah, we tried. Happy New Year, guys. And remember, love life and wear it well. Be safe on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We'll talk to you in the new year, 2016. Good night.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.